Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. The basketball community has been buzzing the past week after the NBA announced a 75th anniversary team. You know, actually 76 players, though, thanks to a tie in the voting process. So there were a total of 88 voters on the selection panel, including current and former players. Also, guys that made the 50th and 75th team got to vote in this thing. We're going to talk about that in a second. I don't know how you feel about it, but it already feels a little jank. But there was also coaches, team and league execs, WNBA legends, media. So now that we got a chance to fully digest the list, it's time to go in on it with the former player who, you know, might have had an argument to be on in yourself, but didn't get to vote. So I'm curious to hear your opinions on the situation. But before we get into it, I just got to give a few quick details about the list. So voters were asked to rank the 75 greatest players without regardless of position. So that didn't have anything to do with it. All 50 players from the 50th anniversary team were grandfathered into the 75th anniversary team. 11 active players made the list, guys like Giannis, Melo, Steph, AD, KD, Harden, LeBron, Kawhi, Dame, CP, and Westbrook. 6 international players, Giannis, Duncan. Duncan's from the U.S. Virgin Islands, so But I read that, I was like, wait, this is, but you know, Ewing, Nash, Dirk, and Akeem. But first things I gotta ask you is, do you feel like you were snubbed?
Snubbed? No.
Yeah, no place on that list. No.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Not at all.
A hooper never, because even me, like, y'all have a little bit of snub.
I'm realistic, all okay, right? I'm realistic. Like, if this is, like, the hardest 75 to guard, yes, I'm arguing. But we're talking about the greatest. It's supposed to be the greatest 75 that basically walked through this game.
Okay, so when you look at the selection process, obviously it was a contingent, I say 88 voters, media, coaches, a bunch of different people. Do you have any issues with the selection process?
Yes, a few. Like, people who are supposed to be on this list cannot be voting.
Yeah.
Collusion.
Exactly.
Like, you vote for me, I vote for you. Like, it's collusion. You just can't have players or active players or ex-players or rich. You can't have, you know, the players who are actually voting has no parts of being on this list. You get unbiased selections.
Yeah.
The fact that you're saying it's the best 75 ever, which means you have to take the original 50 out and put them out, and then you select the best 75.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to anything, like a scoreboard, the top scorer in 1950 might not be that today when you do this list. He might not even be in the top 1,000. So you can't name him, you know, a top 75 if he's been removed. He's been removed. That's what happens with records. They get moved. People move. So your stats have to withstand time. That's just how shit works.
Yeah. I think it, for me, is jankiest just from the standpoint. I got asked to do one of these lists, and they sent a list of like 300 guys on there. And I'm like, look, like 30-40% of the guys on the list, I never saw play a lick of basketball. Mm-hmm. So I can refer to my pops and his generation. He could tell me, you know, the Elgin Baylors of the world and how dominant they were. But when we're making this list and crafting this list, and of course you're going to pick 75 people, there's always going to be some bias. It feels some recency bias in terms of, you know, selecting guys currently who you've gotten to see a lot more than guys in years past. Also, we're talking about guys from the 50s and 60s. Let's just be honest, that was a different league back then. There was shit going on in the world then with the civil rights movements and racism where it wasn't as many black players in the league. So you got some white players who may be gumps in today's current NBA who are now getting shot. I'm not going to say no names or have any fan bases come after me. But, you know, after the list was announced, Jamal Crawford tweeted, "We need our own list," basically saying that players should be the ones who are driving the voting for these things. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yes, because that's what I mean. But, like, guess, like Jamal Crawford is not on this list.
Yeah.
So him ranking it is unbiased. So, you know, him ranking and voting and the people who are not making it are voting for who they think is top 75 is more accurate because they don't have any skin in the game. You know what I mean? You know, the older players who are voting are going to protect their legacy. So they're also all those people that's voting, they're going to all vote for each other. You know what I mean? To protect the legacy of, you know, what they did. So that's the bad part about it. So you got to pick the guys who weren't selected from the 50s, 60s, 70s and let them vote on. You got to remember, they get to see the new craft. So they can say, well, yeah, he wasn't like that. Right. You know what I mean? So, you know, because you got to remember, back then, you're talking about 8 teams, 4-4, 12 teams. I mean, you got AAU schedules. So, you know, when you think about an All-Star, if there's 15 players on an All-Star team and you have 4 teams in the East, top 2 teams, all those players make the All-Star game. So you can't really, you gotta be able to, like, curve some of the things to today and uncurve. Like, you know, if you didn't have a 3-point line and you were averaged 28 without the 3-point line, well, add that 3-point line and you were a shooter, okay, we can give you 31 or we can add some more points to your resume. You know, but when it comes to, like, All-Stars and stuff like that, and I think personally that there's too much emphasis on championships. Like, championships or team awards. Like, you gotta have a great team. You have to be a dominant team to win a championship. It's just not a one player, you know, thing. So that can't be the groundwork. That can't be the sundae. Okay. That has to be the cherry on top. That's what puts you over the top. So if 2 people are tied, okay, he has 1 championship, he has 6. Okay, there you go. You are the tiebreaker, but you can't have 6 and you as a bench player and you got 4,000 total points for your career. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he was 6. You know, he got 6 championships. And? Ain't had nothing to do with him.
That's the problem I think that we run into, because, you know, you don't want to devalue winning, but winning is a part of a bigger process, right? It's a team accolade, mm-hmm. like you said. If you get, you know, drafted to a trash-ass team and ownership makes, you know, no effort whatsoever to improve that team, you know, you can eventually go somewhere in free agency, try and move and shake to get those wins and get that ring to get those values up out of it. But that's not a guaranteed thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not looking at any teams in particular. But if you're on these winning championship teams, those guys, I feel like, get held to a higher standard, a higher plateau mm-hmm. than the guy who, say, you know, has the winning personality, or he's a winner. He's just a winner on a shitty team. And
yes.
That's something he can't control, something that's out. So when you look at that, is there a guy, you know, if we're talking about guys who should feel the most disrespected out of this, who do you feel like, seeing this top 76, 75 greatest players all time, but 76 players on the list, who's the guy that should feel the most disrespected by not making the list?
The most disrespected? Probably Dwight Howard.
Okay.
I mean, if Patrick Ewing is in, like, I mean, like, come on, when you're talking about, like, we're talking about standalone stats. Like, your stats have to reflect what you did as a player, right? You got to remember, the championship is the last thing that happens during the season, right? Yep. What did you actually do as an individual? Were you dominant, right? So when you compare stats, you look at his resume and you're like, wait, how is he not actually on this list? Like, this is not even a bubble. He's not even a bubble player.
Yeah.
He's not even a bubble player. He's actually, like, you're in this. You're like, so that's one of the players. I'm like, oh, that's, look, if Ewing is in, Dwight is in front of him. You know, sorry, he's in front of you. It doesn't matter. When you match up you guys' accolades, it's just, sorry, big fella. Like, he's more, you got to remember, he's more defensively minded
exactly.
versus his offense. So, you know, you're talking about a guy who's going to have 14,000 blocks, 3-time defensive player of the year. You know, like, all that's going to be all his accolades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's, you know, it's one of those things, like,
so we're looking at the old adage that defense wins championships. Dwight, 3-time defensive player of the year. I want to say he had, 5 all defensive selections.
Mm-hmm.
Do you value that the same as you would an offensive guy, let's say, who's got 3 MVPs?
Yes. When it comes to not necessarily MVP, but more of a scoring title.
Okay, exactly.
You know,
okay.
So you got
that makes more sense. So MVP is both sides of the ball, but scoring champ versus a defensive player of the year, would you hold them on the same?
Yeah, hold them on the same.
But do you feel like, because I don't feel like the outside world does that. I mean, we pretend defense wins championships, but people want to see the 130 to 120 games. They don't really want to, you know, that area.
But you got to remember, you know, when it comes to a defensive player, it's how does he change the game? You know, how does he, you know, affect the outcome? So, you know, when you're looking at the list, you actually have to see, was this guy offensive player, defensive player, little bit of both. So you have to be able to grade them on what their specialty was. So, you know, if you're looking at a list that this guy was a defensive juggernaut, like, I mean, he has 12 all defensive teams, defensive player of the year 5 times in a row, and he has 10,000 points. Okay, I got to curve his points to what he was skilled at. You know what I mean? And that's how you have to really do the list.
So when you look at a guy like the white guy you got to play against, how impactful is he on the court? Like, you as a bucket getting machine, when you see Dwight out there, how much is he changing your game?
You know, that's what he was. I mean, to the point where he was considered one of the best players in that league at that time. Is who's arguably the most valuable player in the league, him or LeBron, him or like, that's where he was. Yeah. So I don't even know why this is even the discussion. You know what I mean? It's not even like, that's not even a discussion. I mean, I have almost 15 names that gets pulled out. That gets pulled out and he's in. What's so funny is he's not even replacing anybody. He should already be in. That's the problem. You cannot talk about, oh, I don't like him because he did this. That has no bearing on a guy top 75. It has no bearing on Hall of Fame. Everybody who's voting need to take their personal interest out of this process. You know, so like T.O. not being, you know, first ballot. It's bull.
Yeah, for sure.
Who cares about what you think of him as a person?
Most definitely.
That has nothing to do with what they did on that court.
So when you look at Dwight, and I think, you know, something that you mentioned was that you had 15 guys that you would take out ahead of him. Give me 2 guys on that list
right
now.
I can give you 15.
All right, give me the 15. Pull out the paper.
Okay, so you got to think.
Wait, before you go, I just want to say I really appreciate you came through with the handwritten notes, pages on pages on pages.
Because, you know, because I had to like scribble scrabble, you know, kids. Right. I had to really put it to the eye. I gotta see it. I gotta see what everyone's looking at.
Okay.
And then question. So like, okay, so you have 75 players, right? You got players that, like, if we take your name, this is how it should be done. You take the name off the player. Their stat should be able to tell the story.
Okay.
Their personal stat. You take the name, you take the championships off and say, all right, evaluate the player now. So you got a player that's, all right, it says seven-time scoring champ. Is he in the Hall of Fame? I mean, is he one of these players? And I'm like, seven-time scoring champ? Well, seven-time scoring champ means he was seven-time All-NBA, at least seven-time All-Star, at least. He probably won 2, 3, maybe 4 MVPs. Yes. You can, just that one stat tells me what could possibly be the rest of his resume. Yes, he's in. So you have to be able to take, like, that ring shit, that's to put the stamp on the top. Boom, boom. So who I will put up in the air, so out of the 75, who I would say, all right, we're going to take you off, and then we'll cancel from there. So, like, somebody like Robert Parrish, right? The name, yes. 9-time All-Star, fan vote. Popularity vote. The key is 2-time All-NBA player. Well, that's a different thing. That means in your era, when you was the greatest or when you were dominant, you was a 2-time top 15 player. 2-time top 15 player.
It might have been top 10 at those points. I think they were only doing first and second team. Well, back
top
then.
10. You was only top 10 2 times then. You know what I mean? So it's top 10 in the league 2 times. So as an individual, you wasn't necessarily just a dominant player as an individual. So I will put him as a bubble player. Okay, we're going to take your name out right now, put you on the board. put you on the board. Hey, you know, no. It's fair.
Y'all wanted the real. We coming with the real. I know you seen other
and
shows.
I know he has to listen. He has 23,000 points, 14,000 rebounds. So he might end.
Not rolling with the high.
But
the
I said he might end up in it. But right now, we're going to take your individual stats and put them in the air.
Okay.
Dave Bing, 7-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA, 1 scoring champ, 18,000 points. We're going to take you out, put you up here. Okay, we'll go.
Hopefully there's no Dave Bing fans out there.
I'm just saying, you know, Billy Cunningham. Put him up there. Right? Okay, you know, just going to put him up there. Anthony Day. With all the young, like, I don't like doing things on curves. what their potential is, yeah, your stats have to stand right today. Anthony Davis, up there. Dave, was it DeBuchier?
DeBuchier, nah, yeah, I'm up there. Try it.
Get up there.
I'm not going Moses Moody like Perk did.
It is 8-time All-Star, 1-time All-NBA play. Get up there.
Yeah.
Get up there.
I hate when we have these discussions and people start talking All-Stars. Like, he was the best, what, half season? Like, that's not even, you know what I mean? It's like, you were a half season guy. You were the best half season. It's not like you had the, you know, I think All-NBA is kind of like in football. It's the same deal. Like, All-Pro is more valuable than Pro Bowl.
Yes, yes. So you got Sam Jones, 5-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA, 1-time champ, 15,000 points. We're going to put you up there, right? Kawhi Leonard, got to put you up there.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, just got to, I got to put you up there right now. Like, I got to put your stats up there. Bob McAdoo. This was weird because he was very dominant early. So, you know, he has 18,000 points. His last All-Star was at the age of 26.
Yeah.
And he retired at 34. So I got to put you up there just to reevaluate.
Okay. I mean,
that's what I said. The up there is just to reevaluate. I'm taking you out of the list. I just got to reevaluate and do, you know, minuses.
So I'm glad my dad's not here right now because he very well may have tried to fist fight you.
Probably, but I've got to remember, he could still possibly make it.
Yeah, he can make it.
You just, like, so by the time we're done with all this out, there's probably 58 players. So we got to put players back in. So George Mikan.
The Mikan drill?
That's cute. But this one, I'm sorry, whoever was in that era. 10,000 points. But the biggest thing with this, I don't care what his accolades were, he was a center who shot 40% from the field.
I appreciate the Mikan drill, but you got to get his ass off.
Number one, I'm saying is,
you got to boot him for that.
You're a center, like, I mean, you're a center 40% from the field. 40% from the field, I don't.
And this is old school days where it's easy to get buckets.
We're going to put you out there. I'm pretty sure with the rest of the list, there's no way George Mikan makes it.
I feel like guys like that get in just off name value and the prestige of the league and like, oh, we got to take care of
the was probably the original. That's cool. You know, the original, but you know.
He wasn't hooping against brothers in the hood, though. That's all I'm saying. He was, you know.
I don't know who he was. If he wasn't, you know, going against brothers and he shot 40%, that should be a whole nother. We got Willis Reed, you know, 12,000 points, which is going to put you up there. Dennis Rodman, 6,000 points, 12,000 rebounds, 5 rings, a couple. Put you up there. I've seen better.
I've seen better. He got to get in on hairstyles alone now. He led the league in the most ridiculous flamboyant
style. Bill Sharman, you got 12,000 points, 4-time champ, 8-time All-NBA, 7-time All-NBA. Okay, but you're not top 50 with this rest of this list.
So one question I ask you, if you look at a guy like Bill Sharman with those accolades, then compare him to a guy like Dame, and Dame's a guy I'm rolling with.
Oh, no, he's
Okay. Just had to ask.
Nate Thurman, you know, 14,000 points, 14,000 rebounds. That's it. Bill Walton, that's my guy. 6,000 and 5,000. I'm sorry.
So I got to ask you about Bill because that's a name that I felt like, and I love Bill. He played with my pops at UCLA, and I'm a Bruin myself, so I'm always going to show love to the Bruins. But just looking at his career, is marred by injuries. When you compare that to a guy like Grant Hill, Grant's not on the list, Bill is. Do you feel like Grant would deserve to be on the list over a guy like Bill Walton?
Nope.
Okay.
Both of them don't belong to be in this list because that's what happens.
Okay.
That's what ends up happening. That's how you get a jaded list. You have one guy in and someone looks at, you know, you got, you know, 6,000 points, 5,000 rebounds, right? And then you've been hurt and they put you in. I should be in. Right? No, he don't even supposed to be in here. So put him on the list, but I'm pretty sure, like Mikan, it's not going to make the final 75. Then you got Lenny Wilkins, which is a weird stat to me. It shows like 17,000 points, 9-time All-Star, no All-NBAs.
So at no point was he the best or top player.
At no point he was a dominant player. He was never a dominant player in this.
But what would you, if you considering dominant just finishing all NBA? What if he was third or fourth, and that's, you know, the third or fourth best guard in the league? Would you not consider him dominant then?
Third, you're on that list. So that means
this is back in the day though, when there's only, I believe, two teams. So it's the first team, second team.
Okay. First team, second team, there's only 12 teams.
Okay.
You know, so that, I mean, that's
the janky AAU, you're not getting the Euros, you're not getting a lot of
guys. You know
what I
mean? So some of these all-stars are just, their team is good, so we're gonna pull all five. We're gonna pull all five. So you got guys in the Hall of Fame that average 12 points. You know, 12 points a game, they came off the bench their whole career. Oof. You know, because but they're on championship teams. Has nothing to do with his skill level. We're almost done with it. Bubble. Dominique Wilkins.
The freak.
Put him back up there. 26,000 points, 9-time All-Star, 7-time All-NBA. That's it. Put him up there.
That's you putting him up there with 7 All-NBAs and his bucket getting
power? Yeah, you just got to put him up there. All right?
I got his numbers handy. So what, 25.7 rebounds, 3 assists a game. But he's playing in that tough East, though.
But that sounds amazing. So we're just going to put you up. Because right now, you're just a scorer. So right now, you're just a scorer. So put you up there, right?
But bucket getting, I've never seen a game 1-0-0. You need
true.
To score. You need to get
bucket. Yeah, you're true. But we got to see. Okay, so I have 10-time All-Star, 2-time All-NBA, 2-time champ. 10-time All-Star, 2-time All-NBA, 2-time champ, 24,000 points.
What you doing with that?
What would you do with it?
I gotta hear the name.
But no, see, that's the problem. You want to hear the name.
But that'll inform.
But just the stat line itself, is it good enough so far?
I think the problem that we run into with a lot of these debates and discussions is there's no nuance. There's no context. We can't really get into deeper stuff. We got to just look at it flat at that level. I'd say, based on your criteria alone right now, probably getting the boot.
Okay, so that's Ray Allen. Put you up there.
But then I hear Ray Allen and know the difference he made on, you know, like that Heat squad got LeBron a championship. I got to rock with
but
him.
But he got LeBron a championship coming off the bench averaging 6 points.
Hey.
You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? That's why I said you can't let the championship bank it, because the championship, like some people are like, oh, he got 2 championships. But what was he the difference maker in that championship?
Yeah.
Well, he can say yes, because of that shot. But for the most part, most of these people got 3-4 championships that they didn't even deserve. So you can't, that's why I said you can't use a championship as the front runner. It has to be the cherry on top. And then Melo, 27,000 points, 10-time All-Star, 6-time All-NBA, 1 scoring title. Put you on a bubble. Got to put you up there.
Ooh, Melo, hope you're not watching this.
James Worthy.
I don't agree with Melo.
Right now, but that's what I'm saying. You're not, like, I got to take the questionables out, put them up there for them to come back in as a solid 75.
So you're taking him out the club right now, but Melo very well might be on that
list.
Does he have a table in the club, or is he in gym pop just walking around?
All of them in gym pop right now. You know, but he's a little. He's,
no bottle?
No. The guy, but when you do it, when you put him in there, he's probably like third in line.
Okay.
So, you know, if you go down to 58 third, you good.
Okay.
James Worthy, 7-time All-Star, 3-time champ, 2-time All-NBA player. 16,000 points, 4,000 rebounds. You know what I mean?
So I take a guy like James, right, playing on those dominant Lakers squads where he had to share the sugar, he had to give the rock up. If he was on a WAC team.
Can't do that.
But see, to your point, that if we're going to devalue winning, then we got guys that are on these stacked teams. How would have James performed if he was on another squad where he could have been, you know, the main piece? But we can't ask those questions.
Can't
I get
ask those
it.
Questions.
I get it. But I want to ask just because shit. We here.
So we got Dame Leonard, 16,000 points, 6-time All-Star, 6-time All-NBA. That's all.
Boop.
Up there.
Damn. Sorry, Oakland.
So Harden, 9-time All-Star, 3-time scoring champ, 7-time All-NBA, 1 MVP. Now he stays.
Okay. I was going to say, because I feel like that MVP puts him over the top.
Because it's him. It's his individual work. Exactly. Now you got Patrick Ewing, 24,000 points, 11-time All-Star, 7-time All-NBA, 3-time All-Defense, no rings. He's probably second in line. He's probably second, first in line.
So, Gil, you told me you had 15 names that were on the bubble. Ended up being 21. But this is the guy I need to know. This is a name that doesn't get the respect it deserves. The guy who played with my pops with the Milwaukee Bucks was drafted the year before my pops came, so he went on to greater things with the Denver Nuggets, Alex English. Now, Alex was very outspoken on Twitter when the list came out. Let me just quickly read what he said. He said, "Can't say I'm not disappointed for not being included on the 75th anniversary team after seeing the list. I felt the same after the first list of 50. I've always known that my understated style was conducive to being associated with such a flamboyant sport. Part two, especially when you start making the best of lists, I know my body of work as an NBA player stands up to the test, would put against many on this list. I'm content with that. I congratulate the players that were selected." So let me just give you a quick nugget on the former Denver Nugget, Alex English. So, talk about bucket getting. Led the 80s in total points scored. Did more for the mid-range game than any human being probably in league history. Look at who led the league in the 60s, 70s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. All made the list. Alex English is the only person who did not. Are you putting Alex English in that top 75?
Okay, so he has 25,000 points. 8-time All-Star. 3-time All-NBA. And has 1 scoring title. Let's go in the list. Let's get in line. He has to get in line.
Okay.
He has to get in line. 8-time All-Star. 3-time All-NBA, scoring champion, 25,000 points. I mean, there's no difference between Dominique Wilkins, Carmelo right now. They're bucket getters. I mean, he's not the best bucket getter. You know, that just has, they call him empty points. That right now, he's third in empty points. So,
Mr. English.
I had his throwback, you know what I mean? So that's why I say this, like, I have no skin in this game.
That's why I feel like some of the voting should take, like, who had the butterest throwbacks?
Yeah,
like,
that's it.
Whose throwback are you wearing to the function? They should be included in
this. Like, I had to put Dane, Zero, that's one of my guys. I got to put you in the top, and then we got to go from there.
Okay.
So who else, like, this is at the possibles, right?
So I got a question for you. Now, I'm going to give you a couple other guys first. I'm going to get to this guy because I already know it's going to set the internet ablaze when I hear your answer. But a guy like T-Mac or Vince Carter, do either one of them belong on the list?
You know, the thing was, so somebody like T-Mac, right? You got to remember, it's no different than a Walton. You got injured. You didn't really get to do your career like the way it's supposed to. But, you know, you probably can't find 25 players in history that is more talented than him. We can say that. But as his resume is, 18,000 points, 7-time All-Star, 7-time All-NBA, 2-time scoring champ. Got to put you in the field.
I feel like we're basketball nerds right now. But this is the thing you have to do.
We got to put you in the field.
You got to be able to call out these things. What about Vince? So Vince,
8-time. Now this one, like, I'm pretty sure he won't make it because, I mean, he has 25,000 points. He's 8-time All-Star, only a 2-time All-NBA player.
Okay.
Put you in the list. Because you got to remember, if he's 2-time NBA player, that's in my era. That's in my era. So that means you were only top 15 two times in your career. Your All-Stars matches popularity. So I don't have any value on that. So me looking at something that says 8 All-Stars and 2 All-NBAs, you was more popular, you know, than anything. So,
and this ain't the 75 most popular NBA
player.
Yeah,
it is. I got to put you on the list.
So I got to go shift it to a current guy. Klay Thompson, been super outspoken, took to IG after the list was announced, said that people don't value winning. Was spotted at Warriors practice rocking a number 77 jersey that was gifted to him by Draymond Green. They poked a little fun, said he's the 77th, you know, best player in league history. When you look at Klay, 19 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2-time All-NBA, 1-time All-Defense, 3-time champ, 5-time All-Star. Does he have any legitimate claim or stake to say that he belongs on this list?
Not right now. You got to remember, like, a player now, like, a player today that's active right now, you know, when you're talking about 7-8 years of a season, you're not going to have the accolades yet. Like, you're talking about, you know, 5-time All-Star, 2-time NBA. You got to remember, I don't value the championships because there's 2 to 3 other players on that championship to help you. So I got to see what your skill level is. You got a 1 defensive So right now you have 11,000 points. You know, I got to evaluate your talent right now against someone who has 25,000 points, who has the same resume just without the championships.
So I ask you a question. Would you put him and Bill Walton on the same plane? Obviously, Bill Walton has an MVP and a finals MVP.
No,
but
no.
So see, is Bill above Clay?
No.
Okay.
See, Bill's under Clay because Clay's still playing.
Okay.
So the problem with like Clay, Dame, Kawhi will probably still make the list, but he has to go. Anthony Davis, you still got to go up there because you have to test their resume to pull someone else out.
Okay.
So if I'm gonna pull out a Dominique, your stats have to be able to sustain, you know, what he's done. Clay won't have that right now. So okay. I can't fast forward and say, oh, I'm gonna put you in and we're gonna throw in Luka, and you can't do that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I have to be able to put your, like, not yet.
And this may just be projecting, but looking at some of these young guys, the Lukas, LaMelo's obviously on a tear this season, the Anthony Edwards of the world, do you see those guys, you know, if they came at an earlier time in their career, potentially having the, you know, who would make that list from these current crop of guys?
Can't do that.
You just had the forecast.
But I'm saying it's unfair because someone like T-Mac, right, his first 7 years before he gets injured, he's arguably top five best players ever. But he gets hurt, and he don't even make top 75. So you can't fast forward. You can't fast forward. Somebody like Grant Hill.
Yeah.
You can't really just do that. You got to wait till whenever you do that list to put the best players in. So Clay is probably going to be, when they do the top 100.
He's making that list?
He makes the list. Because, like, when you go backwards, it's still, because got to remember, by the time he finishes his career, he'll be at the 22,000, 23,000 points. He'll have more All-Stars, more MVPs, probably a scoring title, more defensive awards. Then you can add them all together. So when he's battling against the rest of the field, he's moved. Because you got to remember, when they do top 25, the people who are getting put back in, that's bubble names, they got to get pulled right back out again.
Okay.
To face the rest of the groups.
Exactly. And it feels like the NBA kind of avoided that for, you know, to have, you know, no public outcry. But I think, you know, putting the 50 guys into the 75 list, somebody had to get booted from that list.
Like your numbers, it shows like your numbers have to be dominant. Like that your numbers, because we can compare numbers to numbers. So like, you know, like if Bob Cousy, I can look at, he played 13 years, 12-time All-Star, 11-time All-NBA player, 8-time assist champ. I don't even need his championships at that point. I can say as a player himself, he was a dominant player on that floor.
So you're rocking with Bob
So Cousy. No matter, they can do with a top, but I'm saying they can do a top 200, his name probably still won't be pulled out by then.
For sure.
If they erase everybody and put them on, Bob Cousy will still be making the list.
That's interesting.
If you did it fair. That's how you have to do these lists. You have to pull them out to put them back in to see who. You just can't keep grandfathering people in. That's like.
But when I look at a guy like Bob Cousy, he's playing in the league with 8 to 10 teams. Do you knock him at all for that? Because he's not playing against the top basketball players in the world at that point. The NBA is still new at this point. In his time frame,
but it's still like there's no 3-point line. At that point, the dribbling is different. So and then with the assist is counted different. So if I have to make a pass, he has to shoot it. Yeah. There's no dribble, create the space, and then make it, and he still gets the assist. Right. So you know his 8 assists will probably be 12, 13 in today's time. So you have to be able to manipulate for certain things like that.
Okay, so here's the question I want to ask you. You know, this is a guy who I think is beloved by players. So Andre Iguodala and KD both said that Kyrie should have been on the list. KD even got to a Twitter battle with the legend Dragonfly Jones. And Dragonfly said he loves Kyrie's game, but he said the Hoopers love Kyrie, really love it. KD responded, "You're a casual," and then that led to a whole spat with Dragonfly pointing out he was a fully vaccinated casual. You look at... He won the internet for the day. But, you know, you look at Kyrie, 23 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, 6 assists per game, 3-time All-NBA, 7-time All-Star, 2016 NBA champ. Some would argue that he deserved the finals MVP. I would not be one of those people, but definitely did appreciate his performance. Obviously, the game-winning three.
What was his total points?
He's at 23 points per game.
No, total.
Hold on. I mean,
he's probably sitting at 11, 12,000 right now.
What do we got?
Because I didn't write it because it was enough.
But when you look at a guy like Kyrie, and there's certain players, even somebody like yourself, I would argue, that hoopers just have an affinity for because they actually are playing against you, see what you can do on the court, see how much you impact the game. Mm-hmm. So to get the cosign from guys like Iggy and KD, you know, does that hold any weight or value?
So, see, this is the problem with, like, with a Kyrie. Like, this is the problem with the active players, right? Kyrie, top 75 of all time? Possibly, yes.
Okay.
But the stats right now are still being done. So you can't be put into a list where you're a 7-time All-Star, right? Was a 3-time All-NBA player, 1 ring, 13,000 points. There's 30 people who have that same stat or better that's not on the list right now. Granted, their career is over. Kyrie's still playing. So he gets to still add to his resume. So the fact that they did this today, not 10 years from now, say if we're doing this 10 years from now, of course, Anthony Davis is in, Kawhi's in, Kyrie's in, Clay's in. Well, of course those guys are in, but as of right now, their resume is not big enough for it.
So when you look at a guy like Giannis.
You gotta remember, Clay's a 2-time All-NBA. I was a 3-time All-NBA by the age of 25. Hell no, I'm not even close to that list. Like, there's no,
I mean, I had nine. Like you're in the neighborhood. You're
what I'm saying is I'm 9,000-10,000 points by 25. If I kept that up, yes. I'm 20, 25,000 points. I'm sitting here probably battling metal for who's going to be 7th or 8th. But that's not the case.
We need to give you that Bill Walton injury exemption.
Like, no, we're going to
petition the league,
but
though.
But no, I'm not. But you got to remember, that's all I have. There's no scoring titles. There's no, you know, defense. There's none of that. It's just fucking scoring, and, you know, 3-time, you know.
So you look at Giannis, 2 MVPs, final MVP. You know, you're saying guys haven't done enough. Has he done enough to solidify his spot? And is it a thing, if you get 2 or more MVPs, then is there no question you belong on the list?
With everybody, so if we're talking about, I took 21 players out, right? Putting the rest back in, yes, you make it. Okay. He makes it. You got to remember, there's 3 or 4 bubble players. When I say real bubble players, like you're talking about real bubble players. That's like who can really argue? Dwight Howard, right? No Chris Webber. I mean, what's so funny is, at the end of the day, the Alex English does make it back in. Because you got to remember, you have to, because there's 20-something names, there's only really 2 players that has to, that should, their stats. So Dwight Howard, out of 50, so there's 55, Dwight Howard, 56. Patrick, that's how you do it. You put them back in. So the only 2 people that really will probably be out of this list will be probably Bill Walton. You got Bill for sure. You see, I caught myself. George Mikan. So Bill, George Mikan.
I'm noticing a trend here, but
stop.
Big man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's big. Listen, but it's big man that 10,000 points. Who the can't do that? 10,000 points, and you know you're not even the rebounds is not even. So my bubble players, that's like they're definitely out, will be probably somebody like Bill Walton, Rodman.
Ooh, every time you say Rodman,
George Mikan.
A little piece of me.
George Mikan. I mean, Anthony Davis as of right now. Dame Lillard as of right now.
Oof.
But as I said, six-time All-Star, six-times All-NBA. But those are the ones that's out. So what's so funny is what ends up happening is that probably if you're removing three, those three will probably be. What's up? Dame and Rodman would be arguing for who's number 76.
So I'm gonna throw one more name in the mix. Paul George. Does he have any claim to be on this list?
You serious?
I'm asking you a question.
wouldn't DeMar DeRozan be in front of him?
So you put Dame ahead of Paul?
I mean, because put Dame in.
So you put Dame Lillard ahead of PG.
I didn't do the research on it because their stats, they wouldn't have enough stats for that. They wouldn't have enough accolades that would have even put them in that category to even argue about it right now. You're talking about.
But Dame is ahead of those guys then, in your mind.
10-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA? Yeah. He would be in front of.
Wait, Dame is. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me smell it. Dame is six All-NBA, 6-time All-Star.
Yeah. That's it. That's just. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Now you got to remember. So like you throw one All-Star. I mean, you throw MVP in there, scoring title. You see how his. A championship, his. Yeah, of course he. Yeah. So right
any
now,
one of those things, yeah, I feel like
right now as an individual, yes, he's holding his own. As an individual, he's holding his own. So from there, that's what I said. So now he's competing with somebody like Dennis Rodman, 6,000 points, 12,000 rebounds, more of a defensive type of player, yeah. Right? And then he's
rebounding champ though for several seasons during his career though. Do you hold it? Does that hold any value?
Yeah, it holds value.
Okay.
That's what I said. It holds value, but. You're sitting at that, you're the one that's sitting at 70, 76, 77, 78.
Okay.
The only person that was, when you take them out, so Alex English would have made it back in, Dwight would have been in, those are probably the only two players that's in, and you take two players out. So far.
Are you assaulted at all that the NBA didn't hit you up to vote on this list? I know they watch the show. I know they know what.
No, I'm not. No, but you.
But you're a basketball mind. I think that's the one thing nobody can argue. Everybody I talked to, I was with Channing Frye last week, and he was just like, "Yo, Gil's mind and understanding of the game is at a level that few people have." So when they're putting these lists together, it feels like it's even more for show. I think about certain people in the media. I'm not going to name nobody's names because I might have to work with these people, and I'm not going to cost myself a bag.
Mm-hmm. But. Your thought process is the same as theirs in voting.
But that's why if they came to me and vote, I'm like, eh.
But that's what I'm saying. They're not going to burn the bridge.
Okay.
But it shouldn't be about burning the bridge. It shouldn't be about, pissing someone off. It should be about truth. Like, we're talking about hooping. We're talking about the greatest 75 of all time. You can't say that list is the best 75 of all time. No way. Some people, their talent is top five. They got hurt. They can't make this list. You're talking about somebody like Derrick Rose, right? You're talking about somebody like, it's probably one of the most talented individuals that come in, but he gets hurt. It's unfortunate, right?
Would you hold D. Rose on the same plane then as like a Bill Walton?
Because yes, I
definitely would.
He has an MVP.
Exactly. Shit, he has.
They
both do. Him and Bill both have MVPs.
But that's why Bill can't make it because you don't have. There's not enough stats for your MVP to just hold you down. It's not enough. It's really not enough to hold you down with the rest of your stats because you got hurt. There's nothing we can do about that. But we can't reward you. We can't reward you and keep somebody out whose stats really define top 75.
All right, well, we're not done yet. Coming up, we're going to play a very special game of Who's Ass You Bustin' with NBA legend Al Harrington. So make sure you stick around. Welcome back. As you can see, we've rearranged things a little bit to welcome in our very, very special guest. He's an NBA legend who is now the co-founder and CEO of Viola Brands, one of my favorite cannabis companies on the market. Okay, I use your product often.
Got it.
We got Al Harrington in the building. So we're going to continue this NBA 75 special chat that we got going on with a game that I made up called Who's Ass You Busted. Now, the rules are simple. I'm going to give y'all a player. You tell me if you would bust their ass, if they would bust your ass, or if there would be a mutual ass busting.
Okay.
Okay.
I can dig that.
So, Gil, I'm going to go with you first.
Me first?
Your first player, Bob Cousy.
Bob, from the 50s?
Bob, but you gotta play in the janky shoes, the janky, I don't even know if they had Chuck's.
I play his era. Can he play my era?
Okay.
Well, I get my same talent?
You have your same
talent. Come on, bro.
You Bob serious? Cousy not locking you up?
No,
and man. Spinning around in circles.
These damn mailmans and, you know,
how much
store clerks. Please.
So you got Bob Cousy guarding you, like, and you show up, he's like, Bob Cousy's guarding you. Are you just cracking up?
What? I'm laughing. I'm laughing.
It's like seeing a 7'6 player guard you
damn,
now.
But you're like, oh. What is wrong with this? Bro, you're like 6'1, 107 pounds, bro.
But what if you come out talking shit with the love?
I don't care what he's doing. It's like you. After this ass open, now you go finish your paper route. I don't. That's what them people when they had second jobs. So that's not like
right.
It's not like they was professional. So I'm not worried about no goddamn Bob Cousy, bro.
All right,
I around won't score.
Your first player, Bob McAdoo.
So obviously I bust his ass, but big respect to Bob McAdoo. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't want to disrespect the OG in the legend.
Is he gonna give you some buckets too, though?
I don't think so.
Are you locking him up?
I'm locking him up, and I'm getting 50, for sure.
Okay. All right. Damn, Bob McAdoo.
Big shout out, big.
I'll make sure my partner's not watching this. So, Gil, your second player, and he's recently partnered up with Viola Brands to reduce the killer strain from the AI collection. Allen Iverson.
But that's, you can't I'm do that, asking you, bro. You can't do that. That's the same era.
Is it a mutual ass busting?
Okay, listen. I'm just going to be honest with you, all right? I'm just going to dodge this question because he was a two guard, and that was a point.
Right. Okay.
So can we point. Go Eric Snow? No, just like that. Like, what's so funny is I really didn't have to guard him, luckily.
Okay.
Right? Luckily, I didn't really have to guard him, but when I did, yeah.
But are you busting his ass though? If
no, I'm gonna get buckets. I'm gonna get my little. I'm gonna get my buckets because he was little. So I'm just gonna try to post him up. But it'd be like he got 50. I got like 42.
But you're not the guard him though. So you're not taking any one of those buckets.
So
Chuck
I ain't even gonna lie. It's gonna be 50. Yeah. I'm at like 40. Yeah. Right? I ain't even gonna lie on that one.
All right, we're gonna take it back old school with you.
You should have stayed old school with me.
Yeah, give me some.
We're mixing and matching.
I didn't want to take an L.
It was a mutual.
George Mikan, the inventor of one of the greatest big man drills in the history of mankind.
No disrespect, once again. I got to start off mine like that. I've never seen George Mikan play, but I've just heard something very interesting about his shot percentage. They say he shot 40% as a big man. So that lets me know that he obviously wasn't that nice.
So you're like,
what I'm hearing now, I'm thinking the Mikan drill came up because he couldn't finish. It wasn't like he was a finishing extraordinaire where it was like, let's go to the Mikan drill because the way he finished, I think he was doing it because he couldn't finish if he only shot 40% around the basket, especially back in the day like that. Like, how you shoot 40%? Everything was at the rim.
You just fucked up a lot of people's childhood.
I'm sorry,
but how you came up doing the Mikan drill thinking, oh, we're going to get nice
I
and
did
buttery.
Too. I
like
thought
doing
he
Mikan.
Had finishes.
And meanwhile, he can't even do his own
drill. He can't even do his own drill. It's 40%. No, that's what he averaged for his career. So you know there was years where he had 30 something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, we're going to move ahead to current times.
Current.
Steph Curry.
First of all, look, listen, you can't go 50s and then 2000.
We had to get in the 2000.
What happened to like the 90s?
Yeah, the 80s.
Give me a 90s player that pretended that they were great.
I have one coming
on
up
defense.
For you. I have one coming up for you after Steph Curry.
Okay,
we're going to take it back. Are you busting Steph's ass or is he busting your ass? Is there a mutual ass?
No, that's going to be a mutual ass whooping. See, someone, like a kid hit me with that, like, yo, would you stop Steph Curry if he was playing? I was like, yeah. And then I had to think about it. No, wait, hold on. I didn't have to guard that type of player.
That's fine, so, though.
Yeah.
Because if he has to guard you and you bust his ass, but somebody else guards him, then it doesn't count. That's how I operate. He busted somebody else's
but
ass.
It's all chess. If I can get him in foul trouble so I don't have to play defense, I'm great. Other than that, yeah, it's one of those. Sort of those rough nights for the both of us.
But you already see how he guards tough guards now, like how they be setting a pick for him to come on the guard, and he be hard showing, so he wouldn't guard you anyway.
I know, that's what I said. So it's one of those things. If I can get him in foul trouble, get him off the court, get off the court. I ain't trying.
All right, we got two more. So Al, we're gonna go back to the 80s, early 90s. James Worthy.
Oh, James. Probably be a mutual.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I like James' game. You know, he had a lot of. I think I was way more physical than he was, so I would post him up more.
For sure.
You know, he'd be trying to outrun me. You know,
are you biting on the little James look away? Go.
I mean, not knowing what I know about the game now, okay. Or like in my era, but you know what I'm saying. I can see why I was tough to guard, but I still think I'd give him the business though.
All right, for sure. Get your last player, John Stockton.
Yeah.
Serious? I'm asking you a question.
Well, man, like, come on. Like, you go, like hard, then, like,
we're
really
easy. We're mixing and matching.
Then you go, like, really easy.
But you want them all easy or all hard?
No, I'm just saying, like, there was better names than that. Of course he's getting his ass busted, bro. Come on, man. It's John Stockton.
Is he getting any buckets on you?
No, that pick and roll, like, pick and roll to the, that don't, you gotta remember, he gotta play one-on-one. You gotta try to score on me. My rookie year, I think I gave him, like, 27 or easy. Doop, doop, doop. Doop, doop, doop. None of that. I don't know what defense y'all was playing back then, but all that hand checking, that don't work when the kid is going downhill.
Was he talking shit to you, or did he just shut up?
No, that was all me right there.
Okay.
Come on, old man. Come on, old man. Yeah. That handshake don't work. I ain't trying to run offense. All this run offense, put my back to the back. That don't work. No, right. I'm trying to get to the bucket. No assists.
All right.
That handshake do not work on that, my man.
At all.
Your last guy, Willis Reed.
I'm a Knick fan, so I have mutual respect for him.
Okay.
Like but I'd have bust Willis Reed ass.
Okay. For sure.
Come on, bro. Yeah, anybody from, listen.
Come on, we just had too much shit. Where the bread at, Willis Reed?
Come on, let's just be honest. Look, we're just going to do it like this. We're just going to just stop it. From the 80s down, don't even worry about it, all right?
The skill level
at that time really wasn't developed.
Okay.
Okay, so it's just... Like, you sitting here trying to do all this. I ain't never got to worry about a crossover. Stop. Yeah,
running up the court with one leg and all that. Come on, man. Imagine playing man gets with one leg.
Let's just go ahead. Stop.
Last guy, Gil. This is it. Gary Payton.
Ooh, the glove. The glove scared me my rookie season because he was the glove. I remember him growing up. And he scared me with the smirk. Right? Once I got over the smirk... It went all downhill from him, right? It went all downhill from at this point, probably by player, I probably scored the most points on Gary Payton by possession and time when he was on the court. Only because of that friend, my rookie year, when he scared me and he gave me like 18 quick points. After that, anytime he was on the court, I was trying to score. I wouldn't pass the ball to nobody. So when he was in Miami, I remember Calvin Booth said, yo, you got something personal against Gary? I was like, nah, why? He says, yo, every time he guards you, bro, you just try to score.
Right.
Every time. Like, right. By points and minutes, Gary's, I think he's number one.
That wraps up the game and the show. Al, we appreciate you pulling up for this, very special segment. And, we'll have more very soon for y'all. Don't meet us there, beat us there.